Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and live from Aaron Rodgers' brother's house, it's the Fourth and Inches show with Jana and the Sherpa. Happy Thanksgiving,
Jana. It is a cranky household there. Jeez Louise.
Yeah, probably not the place you want to be for Thanksgiving.
No, it doesn't sound like Aaron Rodgers is there.
No, I guess he and Danica will be elsewhere. But anyway,
what a tough life. What a tough life.
So it is.
Oh,
but speaking of not so tough lives, though, your Dallas Cowboys starting to look good all of a sudden. They have a key matchup, Thanksgiving Day matchup tomorrow with Washington. And if they win that, then things are looking pretty good for them, as bad as the Eagles have been this season and all. So things are looking up for your Cowboys.
Maybe. I'm still very worried. I'm very worried about this whole thing.
Everything's lining up so well for them, though. I mean, with Chase.
Exactly.
Chase, you've got to
wait for the other shoe to drop.
Colton,
it's never
McCoy.
This easy.
Well, I don't know. Maybe the football gods are smiling on them after however many years it's been. But anyway. So.
Well, that is one of many things we'll get into today. I'm sure we're going to have some disagreements. I know for sure there are going to be some disagreements because I know you're not on board with all these picks. So we have plenty of good stuff coming for you. You can find us all week long, or if you want to have your voice heard, you just miss us, you have lineup questions, anything you need, find us all week long. We are on Facebook at the Fantasy Football Sherpa fan page. We're at fantasyfootballsherpa.com as well, which you should already know. We're on Twitter at the number 4THN Inches Show, at JKIM16 and fantasy_Sherpa. And, of course, we are here with you for a full hour, as we are every Wednesday night. If you're listening to the show after the fact, well, you're welcome. We're hopefully helping you on your commute for Thanksgiving. But we've got everything from game predictions, news and notes, injuries, waiver wire suggestions, who to start, who to sit, and daily fantasy
astrology
picks. So
reading.
Anything you want, we're a one-stop shop.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
so.
You know, can't ask for too much more. We'll take it. But I guess we should get the always fun portion of the evening over first. In this time, you could probably make an entire Thanksgiving dinner, so have at it. But injuries, it was a tough week to be a quarterback. Alex Smith, in probably the most publicized injury of the week, broke both bones in his legs, suffered compound fracture, spiral fracture, broke his tibia and fibia, and did it in gruesome fashion, 33 years to the day, with the same score on the scoreboard and Joe Theismann in the stadium as when it happened to Joe Theismann. I'm starting to think maybe the Redskins are cursed, and maybe it's by Native
American
Indians.
But unlike Joe Theismann, he's going to walk away with $71 million in guaranteed money.
Yeah, that cap hit's going to be nice. And somebody asked me, since I work in the D.C. area, they're like, so guaranteed money, is that for real? I was like, oh yeah, that's a real thing. You're paying him. So,
yep.
You know, the only quarterback on the roster until
a cheap court contract.
Yeah, so Colt McCoy's the man. He was literally the last quarterback standing after this week. And as a Thanksgiving gift to all of us, the Redskins assigned Mark Sanchez to back him up, which means
we're
going to see
fumble.
The butt fumble replayed 400 times tomorrow. So you're welcome, America.
Well, hopefully he'll
Mark
get
Sanchez.
Into the game and it'll happen.
You know, you never know. I personally am very worried about Colt McCoy in Dallas, but we'll get there. Another quarterback who is dealing with some injuries is Mitchell Trubisky, who it looks like the shoulder injury is likely going to keep him out of the game tomorrow with the Lions. They're calling him doubtful, but it doesn't look good. So Chase Daniel, come on down. You're the next contestant on the Chicago Bears quarterback carousel. But for what that's worth, probably still a decent start. Lions running back Kerryon Johnson
is probably wishing he were still there.
Yeah, right. Kerryon Johnson is not going to play tomorrow for the Lions at running back, and neither is wide receiver Marvin Jones. They're both dealing with knee injuries. Bruce Ellington is dealing with a back injury in Detroit as well. He is listed as questionable. It looks like he probably should play, but for what it's worth, I'm not sure if you need to be starting Bruce Ellington. In Washington, Chris Thompson not going to play tomorrow with that rib injury. And Samaje Perine is dealing with a calf injury. He's questionable. Jamison Crowder is still dealing with that ever-present ankle injury. He's questionable, not practicing, but they're hopeful he's going to play. So it seems like he's on track. in Dallas. Wide receiver Tavon Austin is not going to play with a groin injury. And tight end Jeff Swaim had wrist surgery this week. He's going to be out for a couple of weeks. They're hoping to get him back before the season's done, but who knows. In Buffalo, tight end Charles Clay, who we talk about every week, still not practicing with a hamstring injury. It changes weekly, but this week it's a hamstring. Out in Philadelphia, Darren Sproles still battling with that hamstring injury. He's still not practicing. Not sure this is the week he gets on the field, but, you know, one of these days he's going to. In Cleveland, tight end David Njoku was limited to practice with a knee injury. That's going to be a little touch and go. A.J. Green did try to stay positive this week with his toe injury. He's hoping to try to practice by the end of the week and hoping to therefore play. I would have a plan B. It looks like it's a bit of a long shot. Yeah, in New York, just quarterback Sam Darnold still not practicing. It looks like it could be the Josh McCown show again this week. Wide receivers Robbie Anderson and Quincy Enunwa both dealing with ankle injuries. Anderson's not practicing. Enunwa is limited, so if you're picking one, go with Quincy Enunwa. Cam Newton is dealing with a shoulder injury. He was limited to practice. He's going to play. It's more resting, trying to limit his reps than anything else. Devin Funchess, however, dealing with that foot injury, he's not practicing at all, so I'd keep an eye on that. But it does look like Carolina is going to get Torrey Smith back from his knee injury this week, so they're going to get a little bit healthier. Also returning this week is Ryan Tannehill for the Dolphins, barring some kind of setback over the next few days, but it looks like he's going to be the guy. So the Brock Weiler experience, you know, maybe it was not as short-lived as we all thought it would be, but it looks like it has come to an end. Kenyon Drake is dealing with a shoulder injury and was limited at practice there, as well as Devontae Parker and Denny Amendola, both dealing with injuries, shoulders and hamstrings respectively, were limited at practice. They both seem like they're on track to play. On Sunday, tight end Jimmy Graham broke his thumb for the Packers. He's also dealing with a knee injury. He's not practicing. He says he's going to try to play. Nobody seems to really want to confirm that, but he wants to play. So I'd have a plan B. It's a little tough to catch football with a broken thumb, but, you know, if anyone can do it, Jimmy Graham probably can. Randall Cobb, however, is back at practice with that hamstring injury. He's missed some time. He's limited. He's on track to play. So that looks good. Adam Thielen also is limited at practice with what they're calling a lower back and calf injury. He's planning to play. Again, it was just more of a maintenance day for him. Marcus Mariota dealing with another injury to the same elbow. That would be his throwing elbow, ladies and gentlemen. He did not finish the game this week. We were all treated to, you know, the lovely backup quarterback carousel quite a bit this week. But Mariota wanted to play the rest of the game. He said he was fine to go back in. Coaches decided that was not the case. So not sure if he's going to get the start this week or not. It looks like he's going to try to talk his way on the field. I don't know if they're going to let him. And out in Oakland, Brandon LaFell tore his Achilles tendon, making a great catch. Unfortunately, it didn't turn out so great for him. The Raiders are down to basically no wide receivers on their roster and very few healthy ones. So it's a tough time to be in Oakland for a whole bunch of reasons, but you know, when you have Derek Carr making Thanos jokes at your press conference, I guess somebody's got a sense of humor. So, There you go, ladies and gentlemen. We've survived the injury report.
And while you were reading the injury report, I ate a whole head of romaine lettuce, was taken to the emergency room, had my
appendix
removed,
and I'm back. You're going to be on the injury report shortly.
And I'm back. No, I'm back. I'm already recovered from the injury
already
report.
Already healed.
Yep.
Oh,
bring
man.
On Thanksgiving.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's get ready. But in the meantime, How about some waiver wire picks? You got, since certainly there are some holes to fill, who do you think they should fill in with, Sherpa?
Well, let's start off at running back. Number one at top of my list, and again, just realize that we're late in the season. There are not many teams on bye this week. Actually, only two.
Worth
City
noting,
the Rams,
yes, two teams on bye. You got Kansas City and the Rams after that phenomenal game. Taking the week off.
Yeah, yeah. The sports books apparently got creamed on the over-under for that. But if I had to pick up one guy this week, the one guy that I'm really interested in is undrafted free agent running back Gus Edwards with the Ravens, who stepped in pretty nicely and helped Lamar Jackson shoulder the load, and unlike Alex Collins, he didn't fumble the ball at all. So yeah, he might be in line for more work this weekend, and they've got a very favorable matchup, as we'll get to. Next up on my list of running backs would be Josh Adams, Theo Riddick with Kerryon Johnson's injury. Javorius Allen might also benefit from You have Alex Collins' seemingly diminished role, Wendell Smallwood, Frank Gore, Nyheim Hines, Corey Clement, Alfred Morris, and LeGarrette Blount. So those are, it's a rather long list, and it's definitely more
quantity
than
quality. I might actually throw Elijah
McGuire
on that list out in New York. I know they're coming off of bye weeks. We didn't see him last week, but yeah, it looks like he's getting a little bit of a workload there.
Yeah, that's true. I'll add him to the list. I wasn't particularly thrilled about the matchup this week, but
it's not great, but it is slim pickings out there.
The case for him. So, all right, why don't we move on to wide receiver then? And
sure.
A couple of guys that we've been talking about ad nauseum the last few weeks are on the list still, Chris Godwin and Taylor Gabriel,
mm-hmm.
but some other names to consider, DJ Moore, who's had a couple of nice games in a row with Carolina, Mohamed Sanu, Danny Amendola off a bye week, Kiki Coutte apparently healthy again, Taylor Gabriel, who mentioned Cole Beasley and John Ross rounding out my list. Any others you want to add?
No, I'm on board with those.
Okay. So moving on to quarterbacks, then I have your buddy Dak Prescott at the top of my list this week. Jameis Winston second, Nick Mullins, Eli Manning, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, and if you're really scraping bottom, Blake Bortles, Colt McCoy, and Chase Daniel.
I'm really liking Chase Daniel this week. I think historically, if you go back and listen to 9 years of this show, you'll know this is not a new development. But I have him higher on my list than you do, but that's okay.
This is just my waiver wire list, but still. I could see. I mean, yeah, he knows the Bears offense from his time with Nagy together in Kansas City. But again, he didn't really see the field all that much in Kansas City either.
All the more time
to
study.
See whether the practice field reps with the scout team translate into starting quarterback success. But we'll see. And then finally moving on to tight end. Pickings are really slim here, but one guy I do want to highlight is Cameron Brate with Tampa Bay.
Yep.
Yeah, he's the undisputed tight end this week with O.J. Howard injured and likely out. Ricky Seals-Jones with Arizona. C.J. Uzomah with the Bengals. Jesse James, Vernon Davis, Chris Herndon, and Jonnu Smith, if you're really getting desperate. But Cameron Brate, I think, really stands out from the rest of the guys on that list. But what do you think, or who would you add to
Cameron
that
Brate,
list?
Far and away at the top of my list. I also have Jeff Heerman on mine. I know last week wasn't great, but I'm still in on him. I think he's got a decent stretch of games coming up where he can be a better option for you. So I'd throw him on the list. And maybe Lance Kendricks out in Green Bay, if Jimmy Graham can't go. I know he's going to try to play through it, but we'll see.
Okay. So let's move on to individual, our top 10 and avoid lists for this week.
Let's do it.
How about running back? Who are your top options for this week?
For me, I've got Alvin Kamara at the top of my list. It should be interesting on Thursday night. Saquon Barkley, number two. Ezekiel Elliott, maybe a bit of a homer pick here at three. Melvin Gordon, David Johnson, Christian McCaffrey, James Conner, Leonard Fournette, Joe Mixon, James White, and I've got Mark Ingram and Nick Chubb just outside my top 10.
All right, let's look a little different, but a fair amount of overlap. I also have Alvin Kamara at the top of my list. Melvin Gordon second, Marlon Mack third, Dalvin Cook fourth, Ezekiel Elliott fifth, Jordan Howard sixth, James Conner seventh, Lamar Miller eighth, Joe Mixon ninth, Christian McCaffrey 10, and then honorable mention to Mark Ingram, Gus Edwards, Josh Adams, and James White.
Yeah, okay. I don't have much beef there. My void list, I don't want any part of the Packers running game right now. I just don't know who's gonna be doing what. Wendell Smallwood's on my list, as well as Alex Collins, LeGarrette Blount. I'm just not sold out in Detroit. Rashad Penny and Mike Davis. Again, I don't know if this tandem is going to do that huge against Carolina. I don't love the matchup here. Austin Eckler, Buck Allen, Chris Ivory. I'm just not that hyped about a lot of the running backs this week.
Okay, for me, David Johnson's at the top of my list for this week.
Ouch. Okay.
LeSean McCoy on my list. Adrian Peterson on the avoid list.
Really?
Deion Lewis, Derrick Henry tandem. The Nick Chubb, Duke Johnson tandem. So apparently we see that game a little bit differently. Doug Martin, who's injured out in Oakland. And Isaiah Crowell and Elijah McGuire in New York.
Okay. Well, this will be interesting. I'm excited.
Okay.
Another good week of predictions. I'm feeling strong.
Another great week. Wide receiver-wise, Michael Thomas at the top of my list. Mike Evans recommended. DeAndre Hopkins. T.Y. Hilton. Adam Thielen. Amari Cooper. Keenan Allen. D.J. Moore. Josh Gordon and Antonio Brown rounding out my top 10. Then some honorable mentions. I'll mention Devontae Adams, Stephon Diggs, Michael Crabtree, Alshon Jeffrey, and Golden Tate as others whose matchups I like a lot.
We've got a couple of overlaps there. Michael Thomas, definitely at the top of my list as well. Adam Thielen, close second. I've got Julio Jones, DeAndre Hopkins, and Odell Beckham Jr. rounding out my top five. Antonio Brown, Devontae Adams, Mike Evans, Stephon Diggs, and Keenan Allen with T.Y. Hilton and Juju Smith-Schuster just outside the top 10.
All right, my avoid list is rather lengthy this week, so I'll just try to keep it at 10 names. Larry Fitzgerald at the top of my list, Jarvis Landry, Corey Davis, Robbie Anderson, Jordy Nelson, Christian Kirk, Jamison Crowder, Antonio Callaway, Quincy Enunwa, and Kelvin Benjamin rounding out my 10 to avoid list. And some
okay, we've got
too,
some overlap.
Dishonorable mentions.
Quincy Enunwa is definitely on mine, as well as Chris Godwin, Christian Kirk, Cole Beasley, Adam Humphreys. A little worried about Tampa Bay here. Nelson Aguilar, Michael Crabtree, and John Brown. I think that. That Willie Snead is probably going to be the guy in Baltimore, so everybody else I'm sort of leaving behind. Demaryius Thomas, he was a ghost last week. I don't see a ton of improvement here, not enough for me to put him in my lineup. So for me, those are the guys I'm looking to avoid.
Okay, and moving on to quarterbacks, then top of my list this week would be Drew Brees, Carson Wentz, Andrew Luck, Philip Rivers, Jameis Winston, Tom Brady, Cam Newton, Deshaun Watson, Case Keenum, and here's a pick for you, Nick Mullins rounding out my top 10.
Honorable mention
to
Nick
Dak
Mullen.
Prescott, Andy Dalton, and Lamar Jackson.
I'm into this. I'm super into this because I thought I was going to get ridiculed for it. I've got Nick Mullins at number 10 on my list. Dak Prescott didn't even make my top 10. He's very close, but I've got Drew Brees at the top, followed by Matt Ryan, Andrew Luck, Philip Rivers, Cam Newton, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, Ben Roethlisberger, and old Nick Mullins. I got, unfortunately, Mitchell Trubisky originally was on my list, no longer. But I've got Dak Prescott just outside my top 10, as well as Chase Daniel, I think is going to do a lot better than other people do. But that's all right.
And I didn't hear Jameis Winston on your list either.
You sure didn't. he's in that nice.
I think there might be some lingering resentment there.
I'm on Team Socrates, it's
the inevitable benching.
This is not a new development.
Certainly not.
You'll be shocked to know Jameis Winston actually on my avoid list.
Okay, I can't wait. For my avoid list, I have Baker Mayfield, Derek Carr, Sam Darnold, or Josh McCown, whoever starts there, Josh Rosen, Josh Allen. So apparently it's a bad week to be named Josh.
It is a tough week to be a Josh.
At least by my list. Marcus Mariota, Colt McCoy, and Chase Daniel are also on my avoid list.
Chase Daniel and Colt McCoy are not on mine. Rest, we do have a lot of overlap. I would, however, substitute the aforementioned Jameis Winston and Matthew Stafford. A little worried about him.
Okay, tight ends, who do you like this week?
Well, Zach Ertz, you've forsaken a lot of us in the world of fantasy last week. I think you're going to bounce back against the Giants. I have him at the top of my list. Greg Olsen back from the dead. I think he's going to do some work against Seattle for Carolina this week. George Kittle, quintessential in my top three. Austin Hooper, Jack Doyle, Trey Burton. I've got Rob Gronkowski at seven, of course, hoping he plays. He's allegedly going to. Jared Cook, Jordan Reed, and Vance McDonald rounding out my top ten. And then Kyle Rudolph and Evan Ingram. I wanted to squeeze in there, but just not enough spots.
Okay, for me, I've got Zach Ertz at the top of my list, too. I have George Kittle even higher than you do, up at number two. Kyle Rudolph, three. Cameron Brate, four. Greg Olsen, five. Rob Gronkowski, six. The either Eric Ebron or Jack Doyle, take your pick, at seven. Trey Burton, eight. Austin Hooper, nine. And Ryan Griffin, 10, with Antonio Gates, just outside my top 10.
Okay. I'm looking to avoid a couple of guys this week. Ben Watson, Eric Ebron, obviously I threw my lot in. But Ricky Seals-Jones, Jeff Ehrman, who, yes, a good waiver wire pickup, maybe not the best matchup here. Nick Vannett, Chris Herndon, Jonnu Smith, just CJ Uzma. I'm not excited about it.
For me, the avoid risk, I have a list. I have avoid risk. Speaking of, I have Jordan Reed at the top of my list, Jared Cook, Charles Clay, David Njoku, Ricky Seals-Jones, Chris Herndon, and Jonnu Smith on my avoid list.
Okay. All right. So we certainly see the position a little differently. That's okay.
Yes, we do. And
that's
as far
pretty
as
normal
defense,
for us,
which is always a great leading indicator of how we see the games. For me,
yep.
I couldn't come up with 10, but I did come up with 7, so I'll hit you with my list.
Okay.
The Ravens, the Cowboys, the Texans, the Chargers, the Bengals, the Patriots, and the Jaguars are my top 7 for this week.
Okay. I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued by this. I had the Bears at the top of my list, followed by the Ravens, the Bills, and the Jaguars. Obviously, it's not going to be a real high-scoring game. The Chargers, Cowboys, the Texans, the Colts, the Patriots, and the Vikings for my top 10.
All right. So I agreed with 6 of your 10. It's not bad.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good for us.
And then for the defenses you want to avoid this week, I have Atlanta at the top of my list, San Francisco, Tampa Bay, Oakland, the Giants, the Jets, Arizona, Miami, Green Bay, and Tennessee. So basically, if you play on either coast, if you're in the
I don't
Bay
really
area
have much beef with that
area.
List.
Yeah.
It's sort of hard to argue that.
So, all righty then. So, shall we dive into the games, given that we've got an almost full slate of this week?
Yeah. Finally, those 16 bye weeks kill me. I just can't do it.
Although,
but
there are quite a few guys. We'll be missing this week because of the byes. I mean, it's only two teams, but definitely some quality guys at each position there.
Well,
we
got three Thursday games, so that's always nice. Yeah. They did their scoring. You got 2 weeks of points out of them last week, so don't be greedy.
But not the running backs, which surprised me. I thought Todd Gurley and Kareem Hunt were going to go nuts in that game, and neither one.
So did I.
I mean, yeah, they did okay, but you know, I know personally I lost one matchup by 3 points because Kareem Hunt was pretty much a non-factor in the last 20 minutes of that game.
Yeah, but I mean, wild. That was absolutely insanity.
But the game itself was a lot of fun to watch. Yeah, forgetting my fantasy rooting interest, that was just a lot of fun. So, anyway. As you mentioned, three Thursday Thanksgiving games. So let's start with the first one. And that would be the Lions hosting their traditional Thanksgiving Day game. They've got the Bears in town. If you'd asked me a week ago, I would have said this would be a blowout in the Bears' favor. Now with Mitchell Trubisky not there and Chase Daniel in, not so sure. I'm still going to go with the Bears, though, on the strength of their running game and thinking Chase Daniel will be able to get just enough done in the passing game to keep Detroit's defense honest. So I'm going to go with Chicago by a field goal in a close game. Final score, Chicago 27, Detroit 24, and what I expect is going to be the closest of the three Thanksgiving Day games.
Cool. Okay. Well, we see it very similarly. I've got Chicago winning 27-23. I think Chase Daniel's going to come in and be more than adequate. I think the Chicago defense is really what wins in this game. Yes, our run game's good, but have you seen Khalil Mack in that defense? Matt Stafford has struggled at times this season. We've seen a couple of real tough matchups for him, and he's not thrived against some of the better defenses and even not so great defenses. I'm looking at you, New York Jets. So I'm more worried that Matt Stafford is going to struggle with the defense than Chicago's offense will be lighting the world on fire. But I think Chase Daniel will come in and be a lot better than people think he is.
Okay, next up we've got the Cowboys hosting their traditional Thanksgiving Day game. They've got the Redskins in town. Colt McCoy leading the way now that Alex Smith is done for the year and quite possibly for much longer than that, if not his career, but hopefully not. But anyway,
yeah.
As for this game, I have a lot less confidence in Colt McCoy. I know he's played his college ball at Texas and succeeded Vince Young, blah, blah, blah. But I really think the Cowboys are going to win this one pretty easily. I'll go with the final score of Dallas 27, Washington 17. My prediction is by the middle of the fourth quarter, both Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott will be on the sidelines wearing baseball caps.
Well, I would love to be the how that goes. I'm just not nearly as confident in the Cowboys as you are. I still remember, Colt McCoy, I believe his last win as a starter was coming into Dallas, into Jerry's world, and beating the Cowboys at home. He played a lot of big games in Texas. He's familiar with the turf. These are his people. I think Colt McCoy has the ability to win this game. I'm not saying he's going to. I think that there's still a lot of question marks in Washington, but I think Dallas wins this in a close one, 24-21. I'm concerned about this game, legitimately concerned about this game.
Well, I mean, as a Cowboy fan, I'm sure you're paranoid about
their prospects. We stay paranoid. That's just our default setting as Cowboys fans.
As I'm just kind of naturally pessimistic about the Giants, although not the last couple of weeks.
Everyone is always out to get us. It's not paranoia.
Not warranted, but this week you just might be right.
I'm worried. The Cowboys they're banged up. The defense is not the healthiest. I mean, Taco Charlton's not playing. No Sean Lee. And Tavon Austin's not out there. I'm loving having Amari Cooper on board. Big into that. I would be very happy if the Cowboys won, but I would not be shocked if they lost.
I'll be shocked if they lose.
That'll make one of us.
I mean, I'll be happy if that happens, but I'll be shocked. Happily shocked, I guess. Like the mice in the laboratory experiments. So let's go on to the evening game then. I forget how many years ago, it's probably 7 or 8 years ago now that the NFL added a third.
Our show has been around longer than the third Thursday night game has.
I think so. The first one I remember was a number of years ago. I think it was the Tim Tebow and the Broncos, crushing the Giants. I want to say that was the first of the third Thursday night games, but I wouldn't swear to it. But anyway, like I said, that was a number of years ago. And this year, though, looks at least on paper to be a better matchup. But we've got Atlanta going to New Orleans. And New Orleans, to me right now, is the best team in the NFL. That doesn't mean they're going to win the Super Bowl. You want to be the best team after week 19 or 20, not necessarily after week 11. But right now, the Saints, in my mind, have the best balance team. You can certainly argue that the Rams and the Chiefs are could match them stride for stride as far as offenses go. But I think if you look at it objectively, neither one of those two teams can stop a high-powered offense. I think the Saints and even the Steelers a little bit more capable, even the Chargers a little bit more capable of pulling that off. But I'm going to go with the Saints to win this one fairly easily. I'll say Saints win this 37-24.
Okay. All right. I have the Saints winning 38-30. I think Atlanta's going to show up a little bit more. This Saints team, I feel like they really are, even after that Monday night game, I still think they're on par with the Chiefs and the Rams. I think those three are, we talked about last week, they're kind of a cut above everybody else right now. And I think New Orleans is going to come out and really, you know, off their bye week, show everybody, you know, like, hey, we're still here. Atlanta is just got to be the most confusing team to me this season. They shouldn't be losing these games. They have everything. They have all the parts. They just can't put it together. And I know I'm like a broken record saying this, but I just don't understand why it doesn't work. So unfortunately, I don't think it's going to work here. I think New Orleans comes out, but Atlanta will stick around, but this is Drew Brees' game. It's his season. He's playing at a superhuman level. He's got like a 77% completion rate right now, which is insane.
Yeah, his completion rate is insane, and he's thrown a lot of touchdowns, but his overall yardage, yeah, I guess it's a testament to the fact that they have a more balanced attack and can do more things on the ground maybe than they have in previous years.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I hear him in the discussion for MVP, and I don't really
I get what people are saying, like by the numbers, like sure he should be a part of the discussion, but I mean, when you look at just the actual play on the field, I don't know what he's doing is on par with something that, you know, Patrick Mahomes is doing. It just, the things, he has a lot more help around him. It's certainly that there were people likening it to, you know, Peyton Manning finally getting a running game at the end of his career and John Elway, you know, finally having Terrell Davis at the end of his career. And, you know, he sort of really got a real run game now, and it just makes you better. It makes you a more well-rounded player, and it opens him up to the ability to make smarter decisions with the football and not have to be throwing as many passes or playing from behind as much, that he can have a higher completion rate and have these, you know, nicer-looking stats.
All right, so after the excitement of the three Thanksgiving games, we start off Sunday with the battle for Ohio, the one of the two annual battles for Ohio.
H-I-O.
This one has been be played in Cincinnati. Cincinnati has certainly stunk out the joint the last couple weeks, but against the Browns, I don't see how they can help but get into the back into the win column. I'm guessing you're going to disagree with me here, but I'm going to pick the Ginger Ninja-led Bengals to beat the Browns here. I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but I still have Cincinnati winning by a touchdown, final score. Bengals 28, Browns 21.
Shocker of all shocks, I'm picking the Browns to win this game. I don't know if I picked Cincinnati to win any games this season. No, that's not true. I've picked them once or twice, but not a whole lot. I've got Cleveland winning 23-20. I think they're going to sneak one out. Baker Mayfield has been surprisingly, I don't know if good's the right word, but above average on the road. He's actually playing on the road better than he is at home statistically. I think that Cincinnati is a little battered. They're a little down. Cleveland, you know, they're going to come in. I think they could steal one here.
Just in case you're curious, the last time you picked Cincinnati to win a game.
It's been a minute.
Yeah, I'm going back in time here and not finding anything yet.
I might not have honestly picked them at all this year.
No, you did pick them to beat Pittsburgh back in week 6. That was the last time you picked them.
Mm. That didn't go great.
Didn't even go so well.
Maybe it's better for Cincinnati that I'm not picking them.
Well, you've been right the last couple of weeks, and you were right about Cleveland a couple of times, so we'll see. And also there's the added excitement of the Browns getting to play against Hugh Jackson.
Which late. Will be interesting.
Yes. We'll see what happens there, but take all the excitement for the battle for Ohio, hashtag sarcasm, and throw
Hugh
Jackson rivalry into that, and think it'll be real interesting. Yeah, the Hugh Bowl, that's a good way to put
Everyone
it.
Everyone will wake up from their tryptophan coma just in time for this gem.
Or turducken coma. So, next up, we've got a game that should be a lot more interesting. Carolina hosting Seattle. And interesting thing here, I think I read that if Carolina manages to beat Seattle, then the Rams will be the first team since, I think, the 1938 Green Bay Packers to clinch a division in an off week. I don't know why they were off back then because there certainly weren't buys at that point. So I don't know what the deal was. But,
interesting. You make a really good point there.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they had the bye week just for that one season. But I don't know what was up with that.
Seems
but
suspicious.
Anyway, so Carolina wins, Rams clinch the NFC West, and I think it's going to happen. Seattle obviously has a lot to play for here, but I think Carolina at home just a little bit better, so I'll pick them to win 28-24.
Well, I don't think this is the week that the Rams are going to clinch the division because I've got Seattle winning 21-20 in a little bit of a dogfight here in Carolina. I think that Seattle's a little hungrier. I think Carolina has definitely been hit by the injury bug. I think Seattle's going to take this.
All right. Let's move on to the next game. This game features two teams that are likely to be vying for a top five draft pick this season, so I'm not sure if you really want to win, quote-unquote, this game. But one of these two teams probably
winning is
will
actually
win.
Losing here.
Yes. So we've got tell the Giants. I wish somebody had told the Giants that the last 2 weeks. But anyway, so we've got San Francisco heading east to play at Tampa Bay. I think this is going to be the highest scoring game of the week on account that neither two of these teams really has a defense and both have passable offenses. So I'm going to go with the Jameis Winston-led Buccaneers to stave off the Nick Mullins. I'll go with a final score of Tampa Bay 34, 49ers 31.
Listen, CJ Beathard may not be under center here, but I'm still taking the 49ers to win this game 27-23. I think there's some good things happening. Obviously, I'm very much a devout George Kittle follower here. Granted, I still hold out hope that C.J. Beathard's coming back into our lives. I don't think it's going to happen. Nick Mullins is a nice number two. But the Jameis Winston-led Tampa Bay Buccaneers just don't give me anything to write home about. I don't think it's a good fit. I'm not saying Ryan Fitzpatrick is your long-term answer. I'm just saying he gives you a better chance to win. But
well, he
maybe
didn't
they're just
last
gonna
week.
Sure he did.
That's the
but
no, he didn't.
I mean, maybe they're going with the college philosophy where they're going to play everybody for a half. I don't know what they're doing, and neither do they. That's the problem. But I think San Francisco's figured it out. So it'll be all right.
I think they should alternate snaps, and they can bring the plays in that way. Run
I'm not opposed
down to
it.
To
it would make me
want to
watch
play.
The game more if that was happening.
Yeah.
It would take about 6 hours to play, but it'd be fine.
No, they wouldn't have any more time to play the game, but unless they, passed on purpose, just to give them an income. Well, even that wouldn't give them more time. I don't know, but yeah, it would be an interesting thought. So moving on, we've got Baltimore hosting Oakland in another game featuring a likely high draft picking team. That would be the Raiders. There are not too many games that I think are going to be close this week. This is not one of those close games. I'm going with Baltimore to win this easily. I'll say final score Baltimore 30, Oakland 14, with or without Joe Flacco.
Yeah, I've got Baltimore winning this 27-17. Oakland seems to be really good at having wide receivers get hurt and having your coach verbally assault people on the sideline. I just, maybe not the best look to be lecturing your quarterback, but what do I know? Oakland seems to not have a whole lot of things figured out. Things don't seem to be going well. I don't know if they're just waiting to blow this thing up and just go big for Vegas or what their plan is. But the Ravens, despite not doing it in a very flashy fashion, have had a very nice season. Even with Joe Flacco not playing, Lamar Jackson, I think, even now having a little film on him, still going to be very dominant. And I think it's just going to keep getting better for the Ravens. Lamar Jackson and Willie Snead all day.
They don't have much film of him throwing the ball because he didn't do that much last week.
Which
but,
is okay. He doesn't seem to need hopefully. To.
No, they can't have him running the ball 27 times a game. I don't care how good a runner is.
It's
gonna
not
get
the safest plan.
Himself injured that way.
Yeah,
no,
if they want
him
to also have a matching hip injury, then by all means, keep going.
No, I mean, that's just, to me, that's like coaching negligence or offensive coordinator negligence to have your quarterback, you know, run 27 times in a game. I don't understand the logic behind that at all, no matter how good a runner
he is.
It's
not like
he
has a bad arm either. Like, he's got a good arm. Let him throw.
Yeah, well, this should be a good opportunity for him to do that. If he
can't throw on this defense, you're doing something wrong.
If he's running more than he's throwing this week again, that team is in serious trouble. And my prediction for Oakland is that John Gruden will not make the trip to Vegas with them. I think
really? Interesting.
I don't know what they're going to do with their $100 million, but, you know, hopefully for their sake, they didn't guarantee too much of that money.
I hope
money,
that was incentive-laden.
probably not. I don't think coaches' contracts typically are. I think if you want the guy to leave, you have to buy him out, which is, I guess, makes it really unlikely that they would do that.
It's
going to
be expensive.
Yeah, you know, hit on red, but in Vegas, that was a colossal mistake, that hiring, and the sooner they realize that, the better, but we'll see.
Has not gone well, I'll say that.
I'm just so glad the Giants did. I mean, for all the problems the Giants have right now, at least they didn't hire John Gruden.
Yeah, oof. Can you imagine him and Eli Manning yelling at each other? Or he and Odell Beckham Jr. trying to hash something out? No, thank you.
My prediction is John Gruden will be back manning the Corona hotline next season. Tony
Which would
Romo
be fine,
will be out
because
of the job.
I love Jason Witten, but this Monday Night Tandem is not working for me.
Okay. So next up, we've got my beloved Giants, winners of two games in a row against awful teams, going up against the defending Super Bowl champions who've been awful themselves the last couple of weeks. Philadelphia and the Giants at Philly. Much as I would like to think the Giants keep things rolling, their defense or lack thereof gives me no confidence that they're going to be able to do that. I think this is the week that Carson Wentz, you know, wakes up and shows what he's made of, and I'll go with the Eagles to win this game fairly easily at home. I'll say Eagles 37, Giants 24. And the only saving grace for the Giants is it's a relatively short trip home then.
Well, that is nice. I have this much closer. I have the Eagles winning 30-27. So I think your Giants hang around. Philly's defense is decimated with injuries, to put it mildly. They've got a lot of injuries, a lot to overcome. And like you said, they haven't looked sharp. And, you know, the Giants play them tough. They play them tough at home, and I just think that there's a chance the Giants could sneak one out here. I just think Philly will come through down the stretch, and, you know, they'll still take this win, but Giants are going to make them work for it. With our tradition of me having more faith in your team than you do, here we are.
Well, but you're still picking against them.
But much nicer against them than you are.
I don't know. Maybe it's the paranoid hometown person or the home team We'll see what happens there, but not optimistic about the Giants' prospects for this game. I mean, it's maybe the Eagles really aren't that bad. I don't know, but it's just hard for me to imagine that the Giants are a better team than they are at this point, but I guess we'll see. So,
I'm not necessarily saying they're
curious.
A better team overall. I just think they match up well with them.
All right, then who do you think is ultimately going to win the NFC East? Just taking a quick detour here.
After Alex Smith getting rocked last week, I think probably the Eagles. I think I'm still sticking with my original prediction of the Eagles winning and the Cowboys being second in this division.
I think I would probably reverse the order for those two, and I think only the winner in that division is going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, no,
I don't
nobody
think there's
else
any
is making
a wild card
and
coming out of the
whoever makes it
NFC
out of this
East.
Division is one and done. I don't really feel like they're making a run, regardless of which team it is.
It could have. I mean, you never know how they match up, against another team. It depends who they play. And it's, I guess, a fourth seed or third seed, more likely a fourth seed. They'd be playing a wild card. They'd be hosting a wild card team at home the first weekend of the playoffs.
Yeah.
And, but either way, like you said, it's hard to imagine them getting through either Los Angeles or New Orleans on the road, but stranger things have happened, but not much stranger.
This is true. It would take a lot.
Okay. So keeping on with the Meadowlands teams, let's go to the other Meadowlands team that's actually playing in the Meadowlands this weekend. And again, the other team that played in the Super Bowl last year, the Patriots, traveling to the Jets. Patriots and Jets both coming off a bye week last week. And I think this game is going to turn out pretty much the way you would expect. Patriots win this pretty convincingly. I'll go with a final score of 31-21, and I do not believe the rumors about Tom Brady's supposed demise.
No. I'm with you there. The Patriots are getting healthy at the right time, which is a little dangerous for everybody else. Sorry to be the Jets with the Patriots coming off a bye week and getting their full complement back. So after a week where everyone's saying Tom Brady is not any good, I wouldn't want to be the Jets defense. It doesn't matter who's under center, Sam Darnold, Josh McCown. It's not going to matter. I think New England wins this 31-17, so I've got an even bigger gap than you do. I don't think this is a fair fight. I really don't.
Next up, we've got Jacksonville traveling on the road to Buffalo. Josh Allen supposedly back in the saddle this week, which I think makes me want to pick Jacksonville, so I'm going to go ahead and do that. Jacksonville looked horrible blowing that game last week against the Steelers.
They had it. I was so excited. Things were going great, and then they're like, thanks, we're all set. Three quarters is all we'd like to play today.
Yeah, and I think they could still punch out early this week and win this game. I think the Bills are, Matt Barkley
aside. Lackluster at best?
I don't think they're – I mean, how they beat the Jets by as much as they did or how they beat the Vikings by as much as they did is beyond me, but I think that Jacksonville gets back in the win column finally this week. I'll go with Jacksonville by a field goal. Final score, Jaguars 24, Bills 21.
You're more optimistic about the Josh Allen experience than I am, actually. I have the Jaguars winning 24-16. I am not thrilled with what Buffalo is putting out on the field right now. Jacksonville needs to bounce back. If you can't beat the Bills, I don't know what you're doing. But like you said, there have been some blips on the radar this season, and there have been teams that have lost to the Bills in horrifying fashion, but the Jaguars are not going to be one of those. Unfortunately, they're going to start winning games now that it sort of doesn't matter because they've lost so many.
Yeah, and by the way, for the record, the 24 points I think Jacksonville's going to score, that's going to come on 12 safeties of Josh Allen.
A very ambitious prediction.
A little bit.
So what
there,
you're saying
but,
is everybody should start the Jacksonville defense this week.
pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Even though they were only number 7 on my list. Yeah, that would be.
But
yeah,
they were number 1 in
a
your
lot of
heart,
points,
where it really matters.
Yeah, that's right. All right, next up we've got the Chargers hosting their second game in a row this week against Arizona. Don't know what happened last week. They blew the lead against the Broncos and ended up losing a game they should have won, but I don't think it'll happen again.
One.
I think that was probably the wake-up call that they needed, that they can't just, you know, even though they're likely a wild card team, they can't just sleepwalk
it's
into the
playoffs.
It's
not December yet, guys. Come on.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with the Chargers to more than double up on the Cardinals. I'm going with a final score here of Chargers 35 and Cardinals 17.
Okay, I had 33-20, so we're right in the same ballpark. The Chargers are a significantly better team than the Cardinals. Again, they just something weird happened last week. They had no business losing that game, but they managed to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory in true Charger fashion. But this week they'll bounce back. You'll get your fantasy points. All will be right in the world again, unless of course you're the Cardinals. Then things not so great.
Yeah, they're definitely looking at the top 5 draft pick. Probably the 10th team I've said that about, but pardon that.
Yeah, your top 5 is very crowded.
Yes. So next up we've got, it's got the 3 New York teams in it. It's got Oakland in it. It's got Cleveland in it. It's got Arizona in it. So, it's pretty crowded.
It's certainly piling up. It's a bit of a traffic jam.
Yeah. So next up, we've got the Frank Gore Bowl. We've got Miami, Frank Gore's current team, on the road at Indianapolis, Frank Gore's old team. I have to admit, I'm surprised by how well Andrew Luck has played, all those concerns that
his shoulder's
I was reading
actually
earlier in the
Who
season about
thought?
His shoulder. It seems that he's just fine, thank you very much. And T.Y. Hilton is healthy now and grabbing touchdown passes left and right, which makes me happy.
Pretty fired up about
and,
it.
Yeah, the only thing that surprised me a little bit last week was Eric Ebron not even being targeted once. So that was a little bit of a surprise and a disappointment to me since I started him on a couple of teams. But that aside, I think Indianapolis will win this game in what qualifies for at least Miami as a shootout. I'll go with a final score of Indianapolis 31 and the Dolphins 24.
Okay. I have Indy winning 31-21. So again, we're weirdly enough very much on point with our scores this week, except for the little blip in the middle there where I went off the rails mostly. If we're gonna put any blame on anybody. The Miami defense is better than people think, but it's still Andrew Luck and Ryan Tannehill coming back is a good thing, but their wide receiver core is very banged up, and it's been a few weeks. I'm not sure if there's going to be a little rust there. Indy's defense is certainly not something that's going to put a lot of fear in you, but I just think that it's more Miami not able to capitalize or making some more errors, and Andrew Luck very much being able to capitalize. So I'm happy to see Andrew Luck actually looking like Andrew Luck. It's been a refreshing change.
Okay, so we can be thankful for that on this Thanksgiving Eve. Next game up, we've got Pittsburgh traveling to Denver. We'll see if Denver has any momentum coming off of their upset road victory last week against the Chargers. Pittsburgh had to, you know, to fight for dear life to win a road game against Jacksonville last week. So they're on the road for the second week in a row. And I just think Pittsburgh is the better team here, so I'm going to pick them. I think it'll be a close game, but the Steelers find a way to eke this out. I'll go with final score of Pittsburgh 27, Denver 24.
Okay, again, very similar. I have Pittsburgh winning 24-21. I think that this is going to be a bit of a defensive battle. They're playing in Denver, which certainly gives the Broncos a bit of an advantage, mile high, that whole thing. And Pittsburgh got a scare last week. I think they come out trying to prove something here, but Denver, you know, they're quietly, you know, they're hanging around. They're not getting as blown out as they should. They're still somewhat relevant. And I think that being at home, late game on Sunday. They've got a little mojo. They'll hang around. Pittsburgh, again, going to get a scare, but I think they'll find a way. I just think their offense is able to overpower. Even going against a tough defense all day, I think they'll be able to scratch their way to a win.
Can I add Denver to my list of teams with the top five draft picks?
Yeah, why not? Why not?
Okay. All right. Count Von Count would be upset.
The nice
with me
thing is,
pick him up
at this rate, the Cowboys
now.
Are picking at 7 in the draft, regardless of where they finish.
Yeah. It's in my draft.
I'm okay
yeah,
with
my
that.
Mock draft. Yeah. 20 teams have a pick in the top 5, and Cowboys are picking 7. So they
yeah, it's
going to
be tough when they can only
that.
Divide 5 players amongst all those teams. Bye weeks are going to be very crucial.
Yeah. We'll be auctioning off limbs. Or yeah, actually, I like that idea better. So.
Build right. your own player.
Yeah. So next up, we've got the Sunday night game, the Packers traveling on the road to Minnesota. And I know we're going to pick this one differently because I'm picking the Vikings to bounce back from the disaster in Chicago. I'll go with the Vikings to win by a field goal here. Final score, Minnesota 30, Green Bay 27.
Well, shocker. I'm going with Aaron Rodgers. The Packers win this game 27-24. Minnesota a little banged up, and obviously they're not the Minnesota of last year. Packers obviously also a little banged up, but, you know, they seem to turn it on in prime time, even going into Minnesota. I think they'll find a way. I think Aaron Rodgers is the guy I want holding the ball with 2 minutes left on the clock and the game on the line.
Okay, and then finally we've got the Monday night game, which promises to be not a very good game, at least from my perspective, and that's Tennessee on the road against Houston. I know you're not as big a Houston fan as I seem to be, but I think Houston doubles up on this, and I'll go with a final score of Houston 34, Tennessee 17.
It just a little sidebar, but it really felt like such a joke that during that Chiefs-Rams game, they kept trying to pump up a Houston and Tennessee Monday night football matchup for the coming weeks. Like, oh, yeah, we got another great game coming. It's like, you really think anyone's going to buy this? Like, in the middle of one of the greatest games that you could be watching that, like, even casual fans were fired up the next day about, and you're trying to sell me on how great the Tennessee and Texas matchup is.
Wait till next Monday night.
Yeah. Oh, if you loved this, then tune in next week for real matchup of a powerhouse team. It's like, come on.
Yeah exactly.
It's it just felt like a joke. Unfortunately,
watch
it's Blaine not.
Watch Blaine Gabbert lead the Tennessee Titans up against Deshaun Watson.
Did you see what the work they did this week? Like, oh, gosh.
Yeah. Actually, here's an interesting tidbit. My score for that game, Houston 34, Tennessee 17, you combine those 2 points, and that's how much the losing team scored this past Monday night.
Jeez, yeah. I mean, how do you predict to break 100? That just seems absurd. And then watching it's like, well, it was a given. It was like, yeah, we're going to see 100 points, no problem. It was just that game was outrageous. And then we're going to see the complete opposite of that this week. I've got Houston reluctantly winning this 21-17 just because they have a moderately healthy quarterback, but I might want to maybe just watch last week's game again instead of watching this one.
Well, we can only wish for a Super Bowl that was that back and forth and that exciting.
That would be great.
It did look more like arena football than NFL
football.
Yeah, it felt
like playing Madden, not so much watching real football, but hey, those fantasy points were very real. Unfortunately, a lot of people I played last week had those guys and not me. But if you want to make some money in your daily fantasy picks this week, a couple of good teams to stack, the Buccaneers, the Chargers, Eagles, Colts, and the Ravens, all good values there. At quarterback, if you're looking to save a little scratch, Carson Wentz, Colt McCoy, Lamar Miller, Nick Mullins, and Phillip Rivers, all good options. At running back, Peyton Barber, Josh Adams, Elijah McGuire, and Nick Chubb. At wide receiver, I'm liking Doug Baldwin, Marcel Aitman in Oakland. Like I said, not a lot of healthy bodies there. DJ Moore in Carolina, Adam Humphries, Willie Snead, and Tyler Boyd. And at tight end, David Njoku, Cameron Brate, Jack Doyle, and George Kittle. Defensively, I like the Chargers, the Jaguars, and the 49ers. And That brings us to the end of our Week 12 predictions. We'll be back with you next week, 9 o'clock on Wednesday night, as we are every week for a full hour. Find us all over social media. We're at the number 4, THN Inches Show on Twitter, as well as Fantasy _ Sherpa and JKIM16. You can find us at the Fantasy Football Sherpa fan page on Facebook and all week long at FantasyFootballSherpa.com. Of course, we're around if you've lined up questions or you just want to talk football or shame us for our predictions, whatever floats your boat, we are available. And like I said, we'll be back next week. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great Thanksgiving and good luck, unless, of course, you're playing us.
Happy Thanksgiving, Jana, and happy Thanksgiving to our audience.